Thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful musical interlude. I couldn't think of a more perfect introduction than the words, "Mary, did you know?" Before beginning my talk on entering into the heart of our Blessed Mother and seeing how she lived these transitions and seasons of life. So I know Mary thanked you on behalf of both of us, but thank you so much for having us here with you. It's so inspiring to see so many women of faith living Advent in this very deep and intentional and profound way. You are all truly like Mary of Bethany, choosing to put aside all your Martha responsibilities for a moment and to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, or in this case, more specifically, literally at the feet of our Blessed Mother, and listen to her and learn from her what this season of Advent is all about. And I also wanted to say that this beautiful ministry has led to another Advent by Candlelight in New Jersey. There's a group of Regnum Christi women there who heard about this one and were so inspired by this one that they are putting on one tomorrow for the first time. So please pray for them. There's going to be about 70 women. They're so excited because it's their first one. But I hope that can encourage your missionary hearts, knowing that not only are you here to receive for yourselves, but you have inspired other women to put this on for other women so that they can prepare their hearts for the coming of Jesus. So I think that's so beautiful and so encouraging. So thank you to the whole leadership team for all the work that has gone into this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful occasion. So I feel very honored to talk about this, taking a peek into the heart of our Blessed Mother and how she lived these transitions and seasons of life that Mary spoke so beautifully about. Thank you, Mary. And I think it's amazing that the statue, hopefully all of you have seen her. If not, I invite you to come up after and take a closer look at this beautiful statue of Our Lady, Queen of Peace. On the bottom it says, Mir, 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 which means peace, peace, peace in Croatian. She is the Queen of Peace. And in the statue, she's holding out her hand with her left hand, and with her right hand, she's touching her heart. And I feel like she's saying to each one of you, my daughter, take my hand and come into my heart and learn about how I lived transitions and the different seasons of life. So just imagine that. Imagine the Blessed Mother truly inviting you into her heart. We want to live this well. And part of what's so hard about transitions is usually it's new things. And that's usually what's so hard about them is they're new. And Our Lady's heart is immense, almost as immense as the heart of Jesus. But if there was a heart as immense and deep and profound and pure and loving as the heart of Jesus, it's the heart of Our Blessed Mother. And there's so many things we can learn from her. And this is the third year Mary and I have been with all of you at this, and we've learned so many things over the years, spiritual motherhood, many different things, and we can't cover them all, right? That's why, like, each year we try and learn one more thing about her beautiful heart, because there's just too many things to cover in one night. But tonight we're going to ask her to invite us into that part of her heart where she lived transitions, and how did she live them with peace and with joy and surrender. So when we go inside the heart of the Blessed Mother, she tells us that she was able to live transitions with peace and with joy because her heart knew how to wait, her heart knew how to ponder, and her heart knew how to rejoice. These were three beautiful aspects of her heart in transition. So let us now pull aside the veil on the beautiful, immaculate heart of our Blessed Mother. Ask her. Sometimes when I'm praying in Advent, I ask her, Mary, take me with you. take me with you, take me into your heart. What were you feeling? What were you experiencing? And we're just going to ask her to peek into this part of how she lived transitions. And maybe we can just imagine ourselves sitting down as we are. We're sitting literally at her feet. Imagine yourself inside the heart of the Blessed Mother in that chamber, just that chamber that's dedicated to how we live transition. And I imagine her sitting us down and saying, my beloved daughter, I too live transition. Even though I was born without sin, I was a human being just like you. Blood, body, human. And I walked this valley of tears. And just because I didn't have sin, it didn't mean it was any easier for me. I too had the dark night of faith. I too had questions. But I lived them with the Lord. And I think she would read us this passage before she would give us any other lessons. I think she would say, sit down and listen to this beautiful passage from Ecclesiastes that helped me in my moments of transition. And we can imagine the Blessed Mother opening the scripture, turning to Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, and reading us these words that I am sure when she walked this earth, she read and prayed. To everything there is a season and a time for every affair under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot the plant, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to be far away from embraces, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Our Lady lived all of these things. Our Lady lived all of these things. And she tells us that what all of these things, all of these transitions and different seasons imply, is a lot of waiting and a lot of pondering. And then we will be able to have the rejoicing. Transition implies a lot of waiting. As Mary was saying, sometimes we just want to be there. Sometimes after a loss, an immense grief, we just want to be back to that happy place. We want something to be resolved. When we've lost something, we just want to find it. When we feel like we're at war with someone, we just want to be in that peaceful place. Why can't I just be there already? Why does there have to be this tension? It is a heart that knows how to wait. We have to learn, like the Blessed Mother, how to wait, not just to rush through and get to the other side. We will get there eventually, but it is in the waiting that God is purifying us. That is like precious gold being tested in the fire and being purified. He wants you there in the waiting, and the devil wants to rush you, and other people might want to rush you. But God is in the present. God is in the present moment with his grace now. And he will be with you where you reach the end of whatever it is right now. But we can't keep living our lives longing for where we will be one day. If not, we'll never live, because there's always something. Another woman in my community, it was so beautiful. we were talking, and there's a difficulty in her own family, and she was talking to her own spiritual director, a priest, one of our legionary brothers in DC, and he just said, "Oh, Luli," he said, if it's not one thing, it's going to be another. If it's not one thing, it's going to be another." And I just laughed with her, and I said, "Luli, oh my gosh, it's so true. Part of the surrender is actually just accepting it will always be one thing after another. It will be. That's why heaven is called eternal rest. That's why grant unto them, O Lord, eternal rest. That's why we actually call it eternal rest. Because that is the only place of eternal rest. In this life, as much as I want it now, Jesus keeps telling me, little one, there will always be something. And so I want to live my life in the waiting with this peace and this joy, like our Blessed Mother. Our Lady waited for Jesus to be born. She waited, but she lived it to the full. She waited in Egypt until God spoke clearly for them to come back to Israel. Can you imagine what that was? But it wasn't like her life was on hold because she was in a different country and she didn't know when on earth she was going back. No, she lived while she waited. She waited those three agonizing days when they lost Jesus and then found him in the temple. She waited 30 years for Christ to reveal himself as the Messiah. Can you imagine that waiting every day? Okay, the angel told me that I would be giving birth to the Son of David, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Waiting, 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 until one day at the wedding of Cana, they run out of wine, and she says, "They have no wine. Please, can it be now? Can you reveal yourself now, at least?" And still Jesus says, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." But because of his love for her, he makes the miracle happen, and it begins. Waiting, waiting. And then she had to wait for her son to die. She had to watch and wait as he was scourged and as he was crucified. And then after he died, she had to wait for 3 days when everybody else doubted that he would rise from the dead. And then when her beloved son ascended into heaven, she had to wait with the early church, with these apostles trying to figure themselves out and get the church going. And she had to wait to be reunited with her beloved son in heaven again. A lot of waiting. A lot of waiting. And one of the hardest forms of waiting can be when we don't know. And that's why that song was so profound. Mary, did you know? There were so many things our Blessed Mother didn't know. There were so many things she didn't know. And that can be a very hard place to be in when we don't know. Often, suffering is easier when we at least know, right? When we or the one we love finally gets the diagnosis. It's hard, but we know. Or when we have to have a really hard conversation with someone, but we know we have to do it. What's really hard is when we're like, do I do this? Do I not do this? Does God want this? What, like, it makes it a little bit easier when we know, like, either God wants this for me or I see it clearly. But when we don't know, that's really hard. And I'm sure our Blessed Mother also had those moments. But the reason she was able to wait with this peace and this surrender is because she pondered. She pondered, and I think that's what Father Thaddeus read at the very beginning, one of the gospel passages where it says, "Our Blessed Mother kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." The Greek is actually that it was like she put the tiles of the mosaic together, putting the tiles of the mosaic together. And then we step back and we actually see the image of what God is doing. This is what pondering does. Because in the waiting, we've just got the one little tile and we don't know what that tile is and where it's supposed to go and what does this all mean in the big scheme of things. But if we're pondering, like our Blessed Mother, putting the tiny pieces of the mosaic together, little by little by little, it's going to start making sense. So she took time to pray. She took time to pray. If not, you will not be able to wait. If not, you will not be able to wait with peace and surrender. There's just no way. You will give in to the anxiety. We'll throw up our hands in despair. We'll give up. We'll think God has abandoned us. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to be so consumed by whatever it is, whatever transition or season we're going through, that we just want to give up. Or he wants to rush us through it so we don't stop and ponder the mystery. Ponder the mystery of what God is doing. It's also okay if we don't have an answer. Sometimes our very rational, scientific world wants us to have an answer for everything. It's okay that we're in the mystery. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of living in the mystery like our Blessed Mother. She conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. She lived in the mystery. How can this be? She said to the angel. Never before in the history of humanity and never again will there be a conception through the power of the Holy Spirit. She pondered. She pondered. There's this beautiful scene in the movie Mary of Nazareth, and I know Mary and I often like to talk to you about the movie Mary of Nazareth and the Passion of the Christ, the movie The Passion of the Christ, but they're very vivid. I think images can help our prayer. We are so bombarded by different images in the world today that we need to reinforce our faith with faith-filled images. And if you've watched this beautiful movie, which if you haven't, I recommend it for Advent as a preparation for Christmas. It's called Mary of Nazareth. And there's this beautiful scene where Saint Joseph is dying and Our Lady is with him. I mean, can you imagine having the Blessed Mother at your side? And she says to him, she says, Joseph, are you afraid? Are you afraid? And his reply is magnificent. He says, Mary, I have lived with the Son of the Almighty and with his mother. I am used to the mysteries of God. I have lived with the Son of the Almighty and with his mother. I am used to the mysteries of God. And one of the greatest mysteries of all is death. But look at that reply. And it's the same for us. We receive the Lord in the Eucharist. We have our Blessed Mother. Are we used to the mysteries of our faith? We should be okay living in the mystery. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable and not easy, but it's also okay that we don't have all the answers. And we can just tell people, I'm living in the mystery. I trust in my God. And there will be some mysteries only in heaven that we will fully understand. And that's okay. I was struggling with something this summer. Something happened in one of my very close friendships that kind of put me into a lot of confusion. And I didn't see clearly the way forward of how this was going to be. I would say it's probably been one of the most like confusing moments of my life. Usually I don't struggle with confusion. I maybe have other struggles, but confusion is usually not something I struggle with. I tend to kind of know what I need to do or see the way, but it was as if God took away from me the sight of what to do and the next step. And I genuinely felt confused and not sure of what was the next step. So a passage from Isaiah, which I am sure our Blessed Mother must have read as well on the way to Egypt when she was accompanying Jesus on his way to Calvary, is this beautiful passage from Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind on their journey. By paths unknown, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make crooked ways straight. So if your particular transition right now is maybe feeling blind or in the dark, or that this path that you are on right now is completely unknown, sometimes we've been through something before, right? So the second time's a little bit easier. Okay, like I kind of have been down this path, but when it's a completely new path for the first time, that can be very scary. But Jesus says, I will turn the darkness into light before them and make crooked ways straight. But it's the pondering and the waiting that will help you, because darkness doesn't just turn into light right away, and the crooked path doesn't just become straight right away. We have to be led like a blind person. I mean, imagine what it would mean to be blind and to allow yourself to be led, kind of what Mary was saying of receiving. Do I truly let my God lead me as if I was a blind person? Do I entrust myself completely to him? Do I believe he will guide me on this unknown path? Do I believe this darkness I feel right now will eventually turn into light? Like our Blessed Mother at Calvary, there was a lot of darkness, but then it became light. And I like to think that Our Lady had a lot of questions and a lot of observations in the waiting. It's okay. It's okay to question. She asked the angel, how can this be? When they finally found Jesus in the temple, she said, why did you do this to us? Your father and I were looking for you with great anxiety. She made observations too at Cana. They have no wine. Jesus doesn't ask us to just completely get rid of our human intelligence and our observation and our questioning, but we bring it to him. We bring it to him, and we know that he's the one, if he wants to, who will change the water into wine, who will turn the darkness into light. And one of the most profound questions for me in the movie of The Passion of the Christ, if any of you have seen it, is when Jesus is being scourged. It's probably one of the most difficult scenes to watch in the whole movie. And they're just scourging Jesus and scourging him and lashing him, and our Blessed Mother's there watching. And eventually she just has to walk away. She just cannot. She cannot bear it anymore. And the question they put on her lips, she's praying out loud. And she says, my son, when, where, how will you choose to deliver yourself from this? It was like it was even too much for Our Lady. She wasn't saying, no, don't do it, I reject this, I rebel, but she was just saying, oh my goodness, this is so much. I'm sure she had her questions. And so the mystery then is, Mary, but how could you rejoice? Because we know that your heart is a heart that rejoiced. This heart that knew how to wait and this heart that knew how to ponder also knew how to rejoice. The first words that the angel spoke to Our Blessed Mother were actually rejoice. A lot of translations have hail. Hail, like the Latin version, hail. But it was the Greek, kyre, kyre, which means rejoice. The first words of the angel to Our Blessed Mother, rejoice, full of grace, because the Lord is with you. Just like what Mary said, her first words on her paper, I am with you always. The angel said to Our Blessed Mother, rejoice, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That is the reason for our rejoicing. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. I also like to think of our Lord's words at the Last Supper to his apostles. Jesus says, as the Father loves me, I also love you. Remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And this is because with the very love that the Father loves the Son loves us. And that is our greatest joy. That is our greatest joy, no matter the trial, no matter the suffering, no matter the confusion. Our God loves us. Jesus loves us with the same love that the Father loves him. And no one can take that away from us. I want to end with an example of a beautiful young woman that Mary and I know that I think embodies this beautiful waiting and pondering and rejoicing that we see in the heart of our Blessed Mother in transition. This young woman's name is Maria Fairbanks, and she goes to our parish, Our Lady of Mercy, back in DC, and I asked her if I could share the story with all of you, because her example has fortified my faith over the last few months like very few people have done in my life. So this past summer, I went up to her because I wanted to join the 5 o'clock choir, the Sunday 5 o'clock choir. I just thought, oh, it'll be so fun to do that. I like to sing and it'll just be nice. And she looks so amazing and she has this incredible voice. And I went up to her and I said, Maria, would I be able to join the choir? And she said, absolutely. And she said, oh, and Lauren, can you believe it? I'm pregnant. This is going to be my fourth baby. She has three beautiful children. She's probably 30 years old. And then her mom is in Walking with Purpose and knows Mary and Luli. So we just love their family. So she has three little children and she's pregnant with her fourth. And we were so happy. And then we went off for the summer. And then I came back in September and she was actually going to be the vocalist, the singer at the anniversary mass. I celebrated my 20th anniversary of consecration and Luli celebrated her 30th. And we were getting in touch with her about the songs for the mass. And she said, Lauren, I really need your prayers. My baby has just been diagnosed with trisomy 13. And probably all of you know that that's totally incurable. Like her little baby would die in the womb or just a few days after birth. So she found out that it was a little girl and she named her Mary Gabriel, because Maria, the mom, is so in love with the Blessed Mother, and this passage of the Annunciation of Our Lady's fiat, her total yes to whatever God would ask, has been such an inspiration for her. So she literally wanted to name her little girl Mary Gabriel in honor of the Blessed Mother and of the angel Gabriel. And it has just impressed me every Sunday when I go for choir practice and I see her belly growing. And to be honest, I kind of go with a little bit of dread because I just think, okay, what's going to be the latest update or how is she going to be? Because we all know how this is going to end. And just her peace and her joy and her faith. And she sends me these weekly updates. And her greatest prayer, she just wants her baby to be born alive so they can baptize Mary Gabriel. And all she's thinking about is, how can they do everything to help Mary Gabriel? And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, Maria, you have three other children. This is so hard for you. She's like not thinking about herself. And there's been a lot of challenges. You can imagine a lot of people are asking why she's not terminating the pregnancy. Some of the doctors, they were finally able to find some really good pro-life doctors. But her faith and her pondering, just looking at the example of the Blessed Mother, has been so inspiring. So I want to end with what she posted on her Caring Bridge. I asked her if I could share this with you, and I hope it helps you as much as it helped me. And I got a text from her yesterday before we came saying that the induction for Mary Gabriel has been set for December 14th. So if we can please pray for Maria and little Mary Gabriel. But I hope that this remarkable example of a remarkable woman can help you all on your journey. It is mysterious to contemplate why God should make a life so short, and if he plans to call a life home to himself, why he would wait. Some may look at a child like ours and think they are not a productive member of society, because they cannot offer much in a worldly sense. Maybe by the world's standards, baby Mary may not accomplish or achieve much. But in the eyes of God, she is running her race flawlessly and with perfection. She will never offend our Lord, and I know her pure and spotless life consoles his heart. It is never a waste to sacrifice for those you love. We are all called to this. We are called to imitate the saints and to give without counting the cost. Mary's life is not a waste. She has already changed our lives permanently and touched many, many lives around her. Every kick from her is a gift. Baby Mary is a little evangelist. She is our pearl of great price, and she is a light that we need put on a lampstand for the world to witness her beauty. She has brought us so much love, joy, and healing. We do not want to hold anything back from her. We do not love her less because she is unwell. We love her like our other children and want as much time with her as possible. She is doing exactly what God created her to do. And she is not getting in his way like we so often do with our selfishness and willfulness. It is painful carrying her and knowing we may not bring her home. However, we do not regret any of the sacrifices we have made for her. She deserves everything. When we encounter those who are perplexed as to why we are carrying her, the answer is simple. Love. A parent's love for a child knows no bounds. It is never a waste to populate heaven and to bring another precious, loved soul to our Lord. May we all use our suffering to produce a fragrance that blesses the souls around us.
Yeah.